Hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's episode of the Thrive by Five podcast presented by Family Futures. I'm Corey Holcomb, the communications manager here. I'm also the host of this podcast. And it's May. We just celebrated Mother's Day. Thinking about moms, maternal figures, and caretakers, we honor you this month. We celebrate you. This is also Mental Health Awareness Month, which is really important to us here at Family Futures. And to talk with me about that today, we have Jacqueline Shear from Playground GR. Jacqueline, it's so good to see you.
Excited to chat with you this morning.
It's so great to have you here. Playground GR, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but there's so much great stuff going on with what you do and your vast wealth of knowledge, which I really appreciate having here today. So thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited to chat mental health and play therapy strategies and supports.
Yeah. Again, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and mental health is something that can, it's so important for all of us, both our kids and ourselves as caretakers and parents. And sometimes I feel like for parents and caretakers, we tend to prioritize it less for ourselves because life gets busy. We have jobs, we have families to take care of. We have all these things and all these expectations for us as parents. And so I think the big challenge for that is how do we start to really examine ourselves and think about our mental health and find a way to give it priority in our lives.
Yeah. Well, the best way to role model emotional health is to show that we provide ourselves emotional health, right? And we so often like to really take a time to say, like, I am enough, and let's do strength-based work and water what we want to grow. And then sometimes in the midst of all of that play and excitement and chaos, what is paused is us. Our time, our brains, our bodies, our value, our worth as not just members of the community or parents or all those roles that we have, but who we are, right? Like, I'm Jacqueline too. And who is Jacqueline when she's not a play therapist and a parent and a community advocate? Well, I'm complex and I have a lot of things I love to do and a lot of things that bring me joy and a lot of hobbies that create like true, pure happiness. But do I take the time to do them? And if I don't, why? And the truth is, self-care is quite a privilege. Yeah. Not everyone has the capacity to be able to take the time to go on that hike or take the time to be able to pause. And so whether you do or do not have the time, whether you do or do not have the capacity, how can you fill in the gaps or the time that you already have that you're already using to dump a little more self-care into yourself so you can live this life the way you want to? Because the truth is, we say like life is short. It's not. Life is really long. And let's enjoy it. Let's live it. Let's celebrate it. And how do we do that? Well, we fill our own bucket. We take care of ourselves, and then we can take care of this incredible world and be the world changers we want to be.
Yeah, I think about that, and I think about my own experiences, and as a parent, not necessarily as a mom, but I think about my wife and her parenting journey, as it were, and I think about, especially, you know, with this month with Mother's Day and everything, I think about the role of what a mom is, and I give a lot of props to moms because I was raised by a single mom, but I also married an amazing mom, and I noticed that. For specifically with moms, in my experience, it's that once the mom title comes into play, it kind of fills the room and starts to take more of those spaces that other things can fill. So my wife, she's not just my wife. She's a person. She's a daughter. She's a sister. She's a cousin. And all those things sometimes get a little clouded and a little pushed aside because her mom role. And I'm really intentional. I try really hard to help her fill her bucket in her ways. And I know mom guilt is a very real thing. But sometimes it's, hey, you know, do you need to get out of the house? Do you want to go do something for yourself for a little while? Would it help? You know, again, there's that kind of that stigma about men, like men babysit. But of course, I don't believe that. But it's how can I help my partner find that place for themselves, find that way to fill their buckets? I know mom guilt is a very real thing. So let's talk about reframing our mindsets when it comes to parent guilt and being able to understand that we need that space for ourselves.
Well, I think the root of that is, do you have a village?
Yeah.
And some of us do and some of us don't. Right? And so if your village isn't feeling strong, if you're not feeling like you have other adults you can trust, you can count on, you can lean on, that make you feel safe and stable and secure and loved, it can be very hard to let go. Because who are you letting go to?
Yeah.
And I think about the neighbors, the community, the friends, the family, the people that I have shared space with. And some of the most incredible caregivers I've ever met are the ones whose villages were really, really little, because they had to learn incredible resources. They had to learn moments of self-care to be able to give most of themselves throughout the day. And I really admire the capacity and the ability to be able to say, choose my children, I choose my village, I choose my community in a real way. But what if you didn't have to?
Yeah.
What if you didn't have to choose? So much of that decision-making comes from, for me, mom guilt, right? I am a mom. I have been a foster parent for 14 years. I'm an adoptive parent. I have three children. They have very, very, very different excitements and beliefs and loves and relationships and hobbies. And they're really busy people, very busy people. And their school is very community oriented. And I also work, live, and breathe in a community that is very, very active. And so I wear so many different hats in an hour, let alone in a day. And sometimes I miss things. You know, I miss moments with my children that are so very, very, very important to me, or I miss moments in the community that I've been preparing for, that I want to be a part of, that I want to join in. And this idea that you have to choose between your family or your friends or your community or your roles, it can be so hard to choose. And if you don't have a village creating love and grace for you, it can be so painful. So what do you do with that, right? How do you choose? And then what do you do with those feelings? Because the truth is, if I say yes to this, I'm saying no to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so how do I balance my yeses and nos so I have no regret?
Love that. Yeah, I think that sometimes too, it could even cause resentment, I would think too, with between trying to find your balances, and not necessarily for you specifically, because I feel like you found a decent balance for yourself. But I feel like there is this constant struggle, especially and if you have more than one child as well. And each, like you said, each child has different needs, different perspectives, different things they want from you. And that's a challenge as well, I would believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as we hold all of these things and we want to do them well, right? How do we create these pockets of emotional health and wellness for ourselves? And for me, it's play. You know, I am a play therapist by trade, but I just like love play. It really does fill my soul. It fills my heart. It helps me really rest. It helps me recharge. It really helps me be my best self. And the beauty of play for me is we play as a family. You know, we play as a community. I play at the Playground GR every single day with classrooms and families and youth and all of our incredible partners. And, you know, the research says play is the ability to be able to express yourself freely and to be able to use tools to do that. And when I play with intention, I feel calmer. I know that serotonin and that dopamine is firing off in my brain. I feel healthier. I feel more in control of my feelings, and I feel more aware of my experiences. Because as we look at parenting specifically, it's not just their memories. It's not just their life. It's mine too.
Yeah.
Those are my memories. That is my life. These are my experiences. And I want the children in my home, and I want my family to look back and to say, like, we had so much fun. We played. We were a family that really enjoyed our time together. And I don't want to just be showcasing what play and fun looks like for them to take that and carry it on. I also want to experience it in my heart. And I want to feel the love that they feel and the attachment they feel and the happiness they feel. And I want to be able to look back when I'm 103 and say, those moments meant a lot to me too. So for me, it's play. It's play all day.
I love you said that too. I've actually, it's very timely, because even this weekend, we got home from running errands on Saturday, and my son wanted to, he got a new baseball bat and baseball and wanted to go play. And I'm like, yes, I want to play with you, but I got to make dinner. And he felt a little discouraged by that, you know. So today we actually have a play date to play baseball in the backyard.
Ah.
But yeah, there is something about that that really does rejuvenate you. There are days where I don't feel like getting on the trampoline, and it's, hey, Dad, come on, get on the trampoline. And you jump. And after a little bit, you're like, oh, hey, this is actually fun. I'm enjoying myself. I'm feeling better. I'm getting that hit of dopamine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's midbrain play. And it's so good for us. And play doesn't always have to be a trampoline yeah. or baseball, right? Those are important moments yeah. and those are important foundations of attachment and joy. But play can also be 30 seconds of playing with sticks. It yeah. can be 20 seconds of rock stacking. It can be 3 minutes of volleying a ball back and forth, right? Be moments. So often we expect so much out of ourselves, yeah. right? That this play experience is going to be a whole baseball game that we play together. And maybe you just play catch for 1 minute outside. I really work hard at reminding myself that we're not counting hours, we're counting moments, we're yeah. counting experiences. And I work really hard at saying yes. Yeah. And yes doesn't always mean right now, mm-hmm. right? Like you didn't say no to baseball. You said yes to baseball. You just said, yes, let's mm-hmm. do it tomorrow. And it's really important for us to remember that yes doesn't have to mean right now. And how do we reframe the way we're communicating about play and togetherness and also balance how we're feeling as humans?
I love that a lot. So one thing I think about too with mental health and that journey, not just through play, but also I think about recognizing our emotions and being able to communicate those. I think about the realities of burnout, of sleep deprivation, of postpartum depression, and thinking about parents communicating their needs to their kids,
yeah,
which is not an easy thing to do because kids only understand so much. And like, how do you recommend parents help navigate talking to their kids about their emotional situation, or if mom needs a break, or if mom is feeling a certain way, or dad is feeling a certain way? How do you recommend that?
Let's do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. I think that we overthink things. I know that we overthink things. I feel people overthinking things. So often as we deliver something, we want to appear so very in control. And when we appear in control all the time, we're not really setting anyone up for success because nobody's in control all the time. And you can't create an authentic space and also not share feelings, right? Yeah. You can't have them both. It's really important that the people in our lives, particularly children, see our feelings for real. And do we want to be safe when we share our feelings? Yeah. Do we want to be in control when we share our feelings? Sure. But we're humans and we're going to make mistakes. And the truth about feelings is if we have the capacity to circle back, if we didn't do it the way we wished we had, what an incredible lesson that is, right? I am such an open book when it comes to my feelings in my home. And to be very honest with you, in my professional career as well, it is very important for people to know I am not a robot, right? I may teach play therapy strategies to express feelings, but that doesn't mean I don't have feelings that I manage poorly sometimes because I'm a person and I screw up. But what I'm very committed to is being able to circle back and admit it. Being able to say like, hey, I didn't do sad well. I want to tell you what was going on with me. I wish I would have shared this with you. Or I didn't do mad great. I wish I would have done it different. I was really impatient and frustrated and you certainly did not earn that. And I'm real sorry. This was what was happening. This is what I wish I would have done and said. And I hope you'll forgive me. And I hope I'll do better. And having meaningful, authentic, real conversations with the children in our home is so important. Our children need to hear the people they love and trust the most say, I messed up. I had big feelings. I didn't do it well. And hopefully they see us do it well sometimes too, right?
Yeah, I think about parenting and I think it was Gwyneth Paltrow in a podcast. She said, you know, you're trying to raise this child this into the world and you're trying to take out all the things that you struggle with and make them kind and compassionate and strong, but we're all human. It's part of the human experience.
Yeah.
And I know I struggle and I'm getting better with even with my child and my parenting journey and talking, being able to stop and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry that happened. This is why I was feeling this way, just like you said, and acknowledging yeah. that. And I think it really does help. My son has a pretty open space in our home to say what he feels. You know, and he can be angry. I was raised in a home where I wasn't allowed to have those feelings. And so for me, I'm very intentional of, hey, buddy, why do you feel this way? Like, what's going on? You know, say what you need to, you know, and thank you for sharing that. Of course, it's words versus actions. We have that conversation. But I also think, too, one thing that has really helped him, and it sounds silly, but the Pixar movie Inside Out. I think about that movie and my wife and him both. There are times where we're watching the movie and I'll look over and they're both sitting there like, like with tears in their eyes because they're realizing their emotions and that place it has in their lives. And I think that movie too probably has done a lot for everybody mental health wise.
Well, it normalizes feelings.
Yes.
Right. And so anytime we can normalize feelings and feeling words, and anytime we can normalize that we all have them, we will reduce the stigma of sharing our feelings. Right. And so that movie did a beautiful job of creating a platform for families to be able to talk about feelings and to share what they were thinking and to honor that we all experience feelings. It also did a beautiful job of creating words around feelings, creating behavioral kind of impacts around feelings, and also sharing ways to show your feelings in unique ways. You know, in play therapy, a lot of the work we do is limbic based. And so we're sharing our feelings through expression and tools. So we're not always expecting this immediate, I am sad, but instead creating the feeling of sadness in the sand tray or with clay or whatever tool, whatever paint, whatever item is being used to express ourselves. So in our home, you know, we often choose to use tools before we use words so we can really create some authentic understanding around what's happening. And it's been very helpful for us to be able to use bubbles when there's really big feelings that are hard to manage. It's been very helpful for us to use clay when we just want to experience what we're feeling because we're not sure what the words are for it quite yet. Those have been tools that have been very accessible in our home and something we lean on. I think that the reason they work is because my husband and I use them too.
Yeah.
Right? Like play therapy tools can't just be for kids. They have to be people. And it's really important that any strategy we're using, our kids are learning when they are in control, when they are regulated, and also that they're seeing us do them as well. And so I am creating an art piece around sadness if I'm feeling sad and giving my children the opportunity to be able to experience creating that and to join me and to be a part of that. And through that, you know, we create a culture of emotional wellness that's really important to me.
Yeah.
And allows me to just be real, to be open, to make sure that they know, like, oh my goodness, there's feeling books everywhere. There's feeling tools everywhere. We use feeling words. I want them to know this is a safe place to share what you're thinking, but it's also a safe place to share what you're feeling.
I imagine that your art supply closet at home is massive.
We do have a lot of items to be able to express yourself. It's true. And I often see the kids in our house sharing them with their friends when they come in and need to express. We often hear a lot of feeling words in our house as people are reading books. You know, Todd Parr is a favorite. He has done such a beautiful job of capturing feelings and creating inclusion around those feelings. And, you know, I also honor and understand sometimes we're not in a place to share our feelings because we just don't have the ability to be in control of our feelings, right? It can be really hard to share sad on a grief journey where we're just not in control of our sad, right? And so how do you measure, I'm going to share this openly with my family, and as you had mentioned earlier, I need to take a break. And I think it's really important for us to be able to say, I need a moment. I love you. I trust you. You're important to me. I want to share with you what's happening in my heart, but I need a minute. How many minutes that'll be? I just feel like I need a break. And one of the most important pieces I believe in sharing a break as a caregiver is letting our kids know you didn't do anything wrong. This is not a reflection of me not wanting to share with you. I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I'm coming back and I'm going to share with you because I love you and we're a team. And I just need a break. Yeah. And so I'm going to be outside gardening. I'm going to listen to a song and I'm going to come back in when I'm ready. If you need anything, I am just right here.
Yeah.
You come see me at any moment, but I just need a break. And I have found that to be a very successful way to communicate a pause, because as much as I love to glorify authenticity around sharing feelings, I want to be real. Sometimes we're just not in a place to do it. And that has to be okay.
Yeah.
Totally. It has to be.
Yeah, I feel that as well. And there are times I think about my own self-care, as they say. There are definitely days where I just say, hey, I got to get out of the house for a little bit. I'll come back. I'm coming back. Don't worry. But, I'll say my wife, you know, like, I'm going to head out for a little bit. You know, I just need some time to myself. I'll go see a movie. I do Celebration Cinema. I go do something like that for myself, where I go walk around a little retail therapy, you know, where I go invest in a new Lego set, something like that, you know, just little ways to take care of myself. And usually when I come back, things are good and I feel better and I feel more equipped. And even with kids too, I know the parents always worry about traumatizing kids and what their actions can can create as a byproduct. But again, communicating with your kid, just saying, hey, like, you're not in trouble. This is about me more than it is about you. And I need to take a step back and go do something. My wife, she was burning out a couple of years ago. And I realized that it wasn't enough to tell her, like, it's okay to go outside. But I was trying to create a space for her to create an outlet. And so I bought her a tap class at Civic. And it was like, okay, now for an hour each week, you have to leave the house and go do this because it's already paid for. And she actually loved it. She had a great time. It was an awesome thing to do for her. But sometimes you got to kind of facilitate it a little bit as well, I think, for my partner at least. So.
And you created a play experience, yeah. Right? That's midbrain play. She was like experiencing those chemicals related to serotonin and dopamine, I'm sure. You supported local, right? Growing up at Civic Theater, shout out. I love everything about that. And as partners, being able to lean on each other is everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's really, really, really important. And it's just cool that you did that. And to take really good care of our health, have to go to dance once a week for an hour. Yeah. Right? Like, that's a really cool outlet. And I think we could all make a list of things we want to do to take better care of ourselves. And some of those wish lists are going to be things we can do because there's amazing partners like you who are able to be like, do this. I got you. I already paid for it. Let's go do it. And also there's things on the list that feel unachievable or that are maybe future, right? Maybe they're not nows. And so I really encourage all of our neighbors and community to find the right nows, the little bit later, and then the futures, right? Because there's chapters in our story and some things we really want to do fit into different chapters. And that is totally okay because this book is long and growing. And I mean, let's be honest, half of my book hasn't even been written yet.
100%. Yeah. Earlier too, I kind of want to go back to this. We were talking about emotions and play. Some kids respond better to books. You mentioned a book. Was that a child book? Todd Parr, you said?
Yeah. So at the Playground GR, we use books to support the work we do. It's called bibliotherapy. And so we have 8 books in our generalized curriculum, and we have 6 books in our nature-based play curriculum that we gift to families and schools and community partners that we work alongside. And my emotional health library in my home, it's pretty big, right? That's my jam. And children's books are not just for children, right? The literature, the language, the illustration provided in children's books is so incredible. It's beautiful. It normalizes. And it also creates language that maybe we don't have space for or we don't. It's kind of like a worksheet, right, of how to start. And so books are my favorite way to introduce feelings into a home because I'm handing you a tool. Here's this incredible book. It's yours to keep and read it. Read it one time as a family. And through your words and your time, you are not just creating attachment just based on being together and reading and probably kind of snuggling and, you know, just creating space, but you are saying feeling words out loud. And Todd Parr has many, many really incredible emotional health books, but there's other books out there too that we love. Yeah. If you go to theplaygroundgr.org, lots of the books that we love to lean into and use in our programming are on there. But when we look at the Feelings book by Todd Parr, it's so simple. I am silly, right? And then the ability to be able to see this silly face. What does silly look like to you? What does silly look like to me? And being able to name feelings that maybe we associate being like more out of control, right? Like silly is a really important feeling, but we tend to kind of like put it in this box of you're not in control or you aren't being safe. Mad, we kind of do that with sometimes too, right? So I work really hard at normalizing. Mad is really important. We are never trying to get rid of mad. We need mad.
Yes.
We just need to transition mad to safe. And some of us do that beautifully all the time. Some of us sometimes. Some of us need to grow into it. But same thing with silly. Like being out of control is not the same thing as feeling silly. Or being unsafe is not the same thing as being mad. So learning what to do with our body to authentically express our feelings is really important. And also normalizing, you might feel a million feelings at once, right? Like very rarely do I just feel silly or very rarely do I just feel sad. Usually feelings kind of come as a little community in your brain and they kind of just take over. And so when we normalize, you might feel lots of feelings and that somatic impact, the things you see in your body happening, right? Like if I'm really stressed out, I get a migraine. And then a week later, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a really stressful week. Or if I'm really, really, really excited, my stomach gets butterflies. And when I was little, I used to throw up everywhere. My whole body would just get so excited, I couldn't handle it. And so I know like the somatic impact of me and feelings are pretty hand in hand. And the truth is we all store our feelings in our body. And sometimes self-care doesn't kick in until our body starts talking to us, right? Like I shouldn't wait to start taking good care of my body and my brain and my heart when I get a migraine. I really need to learn my body and learn my capacity and learn what makes me feel stressed out and manage that as it's happening so I don't get to the place that my brain starts telling me, Jacqueline, because that's what's happening, right? Like my brain is screaming at me that I haven't been listening for probably weeks. And so learning about how our body holds our feelings is another really important way to parent, because if we can teach our children, oh, is that bellyache? Are you ill or is that bellyache? You're really anxious. Are you really nervous? Are you really worried? And when we can kind of start acknowledging that our body is holding those feelings, our body keeps score, right?
Right.
When we can acknowledge our body holds those feelings for us and start choosing self-care before it gets to that place, we will have the ability to share our feelings and manage our emotional regulation in a way that's more of a lifestyle than it is like constant triage to support our needs.
I love that. Jacqueline, it's been so fun having you on the podcast today. And you're talking about Playground GR and you have such a great mission and you've talked a lot about it throughout the conversation today. Let's talk more about Playground GR and kind of what you do and who you serve. And if people are hearing this going, that might be something my kid might benefit from. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the Playground GR was founded in support of filling gaps and building bridges in our community to ensure play therapy is accessible to all. Play therapy hasn't always been accessible in our community or city to all people. And though it is a model of therapy, though it is a really well-researched model to support crisis and mental health and emotional wellness and grief and attachment, you don't often hear a lot of people in our community talking about accessibility to play therapy or even honestly always knowing what it is.
Yeah.
And so I am a licensed clinician and I am a registered play therapist, and I founded the Playground GR with the support of this incredible community and over 52 different partners in this awesome city we live in. We are as grassroots and local as it gets. And though we have a space downtown Grand Rapids, 95% of our programming is in the community. We work with people of all ages and we follow research based on who does not have accessibility, and that's where our programs land. And so we are just working towards making sure that our entire city has access to play, that our entire professional community has access to play therapy training, and that every family and neighbor in this city, regardless of age, has access to play therapy. And we are not going to stop until we assure every single person in this city does. And so we just get really excited about the opportunity to talk about play. I love talking about play therapy. I was awarded the 2025 Michigan Play Therapist of the Year, which is really exciting because it gave me the opportunity to talk more about play therapy.
Yeah.
Right? And it gave us the opportunity to share with a bigger community about what play therapy means to emotional health and emotional regulation and body regulation. And through that, we are just able to continue sharing what we believe to be the science of the brain. And the truth is, play heals.
Yes.
And so we are just out there to make sure everybody knows. And you can learn more about us at the Playground GR.
That's amazing. Jacqueline, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you, to chat with you about these things. And of course, we'll include links to Playground GR and all the socials and whatnot in the episode description. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Don't forget to go play after this.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. And we will talk to you next time. Have a great day.